بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم اما بعد in Bukhari Sharif in the chapter of Shahada witnessing a transaction Imam Bukhari rahmatullah alayh mentions a very thought provoking incident in which there are great lessons for you and I to learn and for us to practice and implement in our lives. There were three people that traveled to Syria. This was during the era of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam. One was Budail Sahmi radiallahu ta'ala anhu. He had accepted Islam. And the other two were Christians at that time and point who later on accepted Islam. One was Tamime Dari radiallahu ta'ala anhu and the other was Adi radiallahu ta'ala anhu. At the time when this incident took place, they were Christians. So three of them traveled to Syria. They went for some business. And Budail Sahmi radiallahu ta'ala anhu was very ill, very sick. And he feared, he suspected that he would pass away any time. But he had one concern. He had a lot of valuables with him. And at that time and point in Syria, there were no Muslims. Especially in the area where they were doing business. There were no Muslims. And he feared that if he passes away, how is he going to hand over all these valuables to his family people? The two people that are traveling with him are Christians. Adi radiallahu ta'ala anhu and Tamime Dari radiallahu ta'ala anhu. At that time they were non-Muslim, they were Christians. He collected all his valuables. He noted down all the valuables. He wrote it down. Listed all the valuables. And he put it inside a bag. And just before he passed away, he told to his two Christian colleagues, when I pass away, take this bag of mine, my belongings, and pass it over to my family. He did not tell them that he had listed all the valuables that are in the bag. He just listed it on his own and he put the note inside that bag. Budail radiallahu ta'ala who passed away. And these two people, they took the valuables and they conveyed it, passed it over to the family of Budail radiallahu ta'ala anhu. When the family people opened up the bag, they found that list and all the things that were supposed to be contained inside the bag, and they found a silver bowl that was polished with gold that is missing. So they asked him, they asked the two, that where is the silver bowl that was polished with gold? Where is it? It's listed in this note, but it's not in the bag. So they denied. They said, we don't know anything about it. So the family people accepted it. They thought that probably he was not well. He may have listed something that he's not supposed to list. Or probably after having listed it, he probably must have sold it to someone. So they accepted it. The family people of Budail radiallahu ta'ala anhu, they traveled to Makkah Mukarramah. And in Makkah Mukarramah, in the markets of Makkah Mukarramah, they spotted that same silver bowl that was polished with gold as was described by Budail radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And they asked the shop owner, who was the blacksmith, where did you get this from and how did you get it? So a blacksmith in Makkah Mukarramah told that we had purchased it from two people, Tamime Dari and Adi. The same two people that were accused. Now, the matter went to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And they complained to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that this is what has happened. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam summoned these two people, Tamime Dari and Adi, and asked them that y'all claimed that y'all know nothing about this container. but these people claim that you have sold it to them. They said, yes, we had actually purchased it from Budail, but we had no witnesses at that time and point, so we just denied it. But now we are claiming that we had actually purchased it from him. So therefore, what we sold in the market of Makkah actually belonged to us. So Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him that that's the claim you're making. Present two witnesses to your claim. They were unable to do that. Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave a ruling in favor of the family of the deceased against these two people. And he mentioned that pay 1,000 dinars for that silver container with a silver bowl that was polished in gold. In this incident, there's a thought-provoking lesson for us to learn. How important it is for us to write down something and document something. Very often nowadays, people enter into huge, huge transactions, purchase and sale transactions. People enter into lease agreements. People enter into partnerships. Everything by word and mouth. And when a dispute takes place, it's one person's word against the other. One will say, well, that's the agreement between me and you. The other one say, no, that's the agreement between me and you. It's one person's word against the other. And there's no document that you can refer to. And from this we understand how important it is when any muamala takes place, any dealing takes place, you record it, write it down. Budail radiallahu ta'ala did a very wise thing. Had he not written it, then that silver container would never have been released, it would never have been located and passed over to a family. The longest ayat in the Quran Kareem, Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala tells us, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِذَا تَدَايَنْتُمْ بِدَيْنٍ إِلَىٰ أَجَلٍ مُسَمَّنْ فَكْتُبُوا. Longest ayat of the Quran Kareem. Allah tabarak wa ta'ala says, there are people who believe, when you do credit transactions, write it down. Ulama mentioned, it is mustahab. It is desirable to record the transaction. Not necessary, but the era and the zamana that we are going through, it's wajib. It's compulsory. So many disputes take place. Allah Ta'ala tells us in the Quran Kareem, وَلَا تَنَازَعُوا. Do not fight, do not dispute. If not recording a transaction is going to lead to a dispute, then recording the transaction becomes wajib. And nowadays when you tell somebody to record a transaction, they say, but we are brothers. For how many years we are dealing with each other? Don't you trust me? We did this deal, we did that deal, we did this deal, we did that deal. Why don't you trust me in this? You should simply tell the person, Shariat advises us, we live like brothers and deal like strangers. If you're not going to adopt this policy, live like brothers and deal like strangers, then it may just end up that you won't be living like brothers anymore, you'll end up like strangers. Fights and disputes taking place. And when you tell somebody that I wish to enter into a written agreement with you on this, and if the person tells you, you don't trust me, tell him, no, I only want to do it because the order of Allah to do it. Allah told, Faktubu, I'm writing down. And also tell the person that I'm doing it because it is a sunnah of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In Tirmidhi Sharif, in the chapter of Buyu and Economics, Imam Tirmidhi rahmatullahi alayhi titled the chapter, Babu Kitabati Shurut. Writing down terms and conditions. And he mentioned a very amazing, thought-provoking hadith of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam entered into a transaction with one sahabi, Hazrat Adda ibn Khalid ibn Hawza. According to one narration we understand, Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was the purchaser. According to another narration we understand, Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was the seller. In Bukhari is one, and Tirmidhi is another. Whatever it is, Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam entered into a transaction with a fellow sahabi. This sahabi very proudly used to tell to other people later on, should I not take out a letter in which Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam recorded a transaction? In the document, in that letter, it was written that هذا مشترى محمد من عدا ابن خالد ابن حوذا. This document reflects Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam purchasing an item from Adda ibn Khalid ibn Hawdah. And the terms of the conditions of the transaction is Bay'ul Muslim al-Muslim. A Muslim is transacting with a Muslim. And this wasn't any ordinary Muslim. It was the Nabi of Allah. Where will the Nabi of Allah cheat anyone, deceive anyone? And further the condition was لَا دَاءَ وَلَا غَائِلَةَ وَلَا خِبْسَةَ. Then whatever we have transaction we have done, there is no defect in the item, there is no deception in the item, and it is not something that is stolen. Where will the Nabi of Allah deal with something that is stolen? Where will the Nabi of Allah deceive anybody? Where will the Nabi of Allah sell an item to somebody with defect? But all Nabi Sassam did this to set an example to the Ummah that when you do muamalat, dealings and transactions, record it. When the Nabi of Allah did it with the Sahabi, then how much more important it is when you and I deal with each other, we record our transactions. And do it with the intention that it is a sunnah. And by practicing on the sunnah, it'll save us from so many problems, so many difficulties and hardships. For the past few years, we're dealing with commercial mediations and arbitrations. And in huge, huge transactions that we deal with, and or arbitrating in issues, first thing I would ask the parties, that do you have anything documented? And you'll be amazed sometimes that the amounts run in millions, 10 million, 20 million, 50 millions, huge, huge transactions people will do. And I'm sometimes shocked that people enter into such kind of transaction without even documenting it. At that time and point, they thought that everything will be well. And only when the dispute takes place, and then when you ask them, that you have anything recorded, no, Mufsab, you know, we just trusted one another. We were old friends. But the old friends, you notice over time, with this dispute, you become the worst of enemies. And this mere practicing on the sunnah, it saves the people from so many problems, so many difficulties. Another important thing about writing is also recording our wills and estates. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is reported to have mentioned, لا ينبغي لمؤمن أَنْ يَبِيتَ لَيْلَتَيْنْ وَوَسِيَّتُهُ مَكْتُوبَةٌ عِنْدَهُ. It's not appropriate for a believer that even two nights pass by without his wasiyyah being recorded. We don't know when we're going to die. That is imminent. Anytime we could pass away, we had dealings with people. We have people's amanat with us. Sometimes you are a creditor. Sometimes you are a debtor. So, should you pass away, how is your estate going to deal with all those issues? Who knows what dealings you had with people? And besides that, what if you missed out namazes in the past? What if you missed out some rozas in the past? What if you had people's amanat by you? Or you did not pay out zakat in the past, some shari'i obligation upon you, you need to record all that. And when you record it in the will, then you need to update it all the time. Merely having it recorded once is not sufficient. Record it and you update it all the time. These are some of the adab and etiquette of writing out things. So, when a person passes away, then the executor of the will know how to regulate the estate. At times, people don't even record that. If it's a personal obligation between you and Allah, tabarak wa ta'ala, then understood. But sometimes, when you're owing people owing you money, it has an impact on the estate, and then that again creates a huge problem. So practice on this one order of Allah, where Allah says, write things down. And putting our muamalat in order, that's an important injunction of Sharia. Sometimes when our muamalat is not right, we can exert ourselves in ibadat. We can exert ourselves in tilawat, in zikr, but not recording our transaction, it leads to so many spiritual defects that actually affects our ibadat. Allah grant us tawfiq wa akhir da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen.